Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. And we've got a lot to cover this morning, so let's go to the throne of grace in prayer, which is our privilege because we're adopted in Christ and we are adult sons, and we can pray to God because He's given us the Holy Spirit and our position in Christ. Those are the two reasons we can pray to the Father. I don't understand why people want to pray to Jesus and pray to the Holy Spirit when Christ came to bring us to the sovereign, omnipotent God. And no authority above that on anywhere. And the reason we can do so is because He has adopted us in His Son. So we share the sonship of Christ, therefore He is our Heavenly Father. Let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee, first of all, thanking You, rejoicing with You, Father, for the freedom we enjoy in America. A freedom, Heavenly Father, that is being taken away and has already been taken away from so many places on earth. We're so thankful for the men and women and the services of this country that are away from their homes and families today, that we can come here in freedom and worship You. We have freedom in Christ. Now we have freedom in America. And therefore, Father, we use our freedom to worship You with others. Pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to You, glorifying to Your Son. In His precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, before we sing, would you open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We ended the first class with this, and it's just such a beautiful flow-in for this study, for our, this service. Paul, as a major thorn in the flesh that most people know, that we don't know what it was, but he did have a thorn in the flesh. But let's just read about it, verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself. Now, his thorn in the flesh may have been arrogance. I don't know. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. Now, here's the answer. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Now, I'm sorry that when I was 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, I didn't need him to drive. I was good. Man, I could strip those gears. I need him every hour now. I get in that car. Oh, Father, help me. I don't need a ticket, a wreck, or a scrape. See? You learn, when weaknesses start setting in, you learn you need him. I know it every time I sit down to open the Greek or Hebrew. I need him. I need him to show me. Not just be able to read the Greek and Hebrew, but show me what's going on in it. What the words and the verbs and the nouns and their classifications mean. I need him. The more we realize our weakness, the more we need him. There are things, like I just said, in old age, I'm so sorry I didn't see I needed him years ago. But old age causes me to see I need him. I need him to walk, do everything. I need him. But more that we can understand this and see this as young people, I need you. I'm weak. I'm weak in this area. See, where did we learn this? We learned this at the gospel. I'm an unbeliever. I'm headed for eternal lake of fire. I can't save myself. I need you. save me. I trust you. That's the way we should live our whole life. I need you. So with these things in mind, let's turn to hymn number 397, I need thee, 379, I need thee every hour. 379, I need thee every hour. I'm going to become the pianist. Okay, let's thank you for the singing. Now let's go to prayer, which is our wonderful privilege that we have. You don't appreciate public prayer, together prayer, until it's taken away. UPS has made a rule. None of their employees can meet on their own time on their property and pray. Cannot do it. It's a UPS major policy worldwide now. Christians cannot pray together. FedEx too? No. Yeah, use FedEx. But it's just amazing. And of course, we know there are countries throughout the world that you cannot join together and pray. We know that in America you can't do it in school because that's against the law. But people, no one ever stops you from praying. You can pray with your eyes open and look around. In fact, if you ever pray while you're driving, I hope you pray with your eyes open. And it's one of the most wonderful privileges we have is prayer. Okay, I want to start it off talking about our good friend Nick. Now, what's going on?
Nick started feeling sick again last Sunday. He tried to come to church, some of y'all saw him, and ended up going to the car and took him home. So he started feeling bad, stayed home all week this week. But we know God is guiding our steps and decisions we're making. It kind of forced Chris and I to talk and call Dr. Kasanis back and say, let's get him on homebound and just home and not around all the flu and stuff that's everywhere. His immune system is so low. So God has been nudging us each step of the way. Tish, Leslie, Terry, Lyric, just all the people just kind of nudging and saying, hey, go see Dr. Kasanis. Let's look at all of her body health. So every step of the way, we just see God's hand in it. He's just exhausted. He's really tired. He's sleeping a lot. when your body's resting, it's healing. So, you know, that's what he needs. Just trying to limit his contact with a lot of people and keep him protected. And, you know, God just keeps showing us two people that are praying for us, praying for him. I went up to school. I was only there about 30 minutes. And within that 30-minute window, I was turning something in for him. Ran into two different coaches that are in prayer for him, asking about him, praying for him. And his basketball coach, I stopped him and he said, he's going to homebound, I'm going to be his teacher. I always do that for my kids that go on homebound, so they see a familiar face. I've been praying specifically for Nick that you would find out what's going on. So just God's hand in all these things that we're just seeing. So the school is very supportive. He's going to keep the same schedule and teachers. And he's going to hopefully have his basketball coach that's going to come in and be able to see a familiar face for him and encouragement. And when I mentioned it to Nick, he was very excited about that. So just ask you guys to keep praying for his encouragement and just his strength every day and just keep pushing. And we have a neurology appointment tomorrow just to make sure there's nothing neurological with his legs going on. And then Tuesday we will meet with the homeopathic lady to get a specific plan for Nick on diet, supplements, that kind of thing. And then onto the electromagnetic pulse machine and getting that going so we can get voltage up in his body and work on getting good, healthy cells. That's what we're working on for Nick.
Just to put it in perspective, the discomfort. He's feeling a little better. Wanted a hamburger. Just a good old hamburger. Took one or two bites. Two bites. That's it. It hit him. So, people, it's not good. Please be in prayer for Nick every day. And make that one. I know we all have just a limited amount of time. And there's just certain things we cannot pray every day. But people, make him a daily prayer. He has to go through this daily. It's worth a minute, a second, 30 seconds of your life each day to pray for Nick. That's not asking too much because he's got to do it all day long. So please be in prayer for Nick. Okay? Now, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes?
A couple weeks ago, I asked for prayer for my friend Jamie's father.
Yes.
He went through two different heart surgeries, and I just want to report that he's doing well.
Good.
So,
very good.
Thank you for prayer, and she thanks us very much.
Good. Very good. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
My dad, you know, I want to say thank you for his checkup last week. Was about three tumors that we were watching. Two are dead. One is half dead. So that was good. That's a good from his treatment 90 days ago. But then after reviewing the scan, we have to go in Tuesday. There's a new lesion on his spine that they need to look at that has grown since November. It's new. It just appeared in November scan. It showed up again on this scan. So we're going in on a Tuesday for a CT scan this time to take a look at things.
Pray for Johnny.
Yeah, let's just pray it's not cancer.
The doctors. Mm-hmm. Yes.
My brother Scott, I talked to him yesterday. And he got diagnosed, well, not for sure, but he's going to oncologist, like bone cancer. Mm-hmm. The good thing is it's confined so far, I think, just to the ribs. So they might have to remove ribs and other stuff on there. So.
Hey, he's already lost one.
But he's in good spirits, so.
Right. How old is your brother?
He's 50.
50, okay. Yep. What's his first name?
Scott.
Scott. Let's be in prayer for Scott. Doctors. Wisdom and what God wants in store for him. Yes.
My brother-in-law, Paul, is going to have open heart surgery.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. When?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
Three valves and a couple of stents, but he's high risk.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yes.
I think I've mentioned one of our youth group young ladies named Juliana before. I don't remember if I had shared much about her, but she had been driving to us from Dallas. She's came to our VBSs. She'd been coming for about the last, the school started, right?
Right.
As a result of another friend of hers who goes to Ursuline with her. And this friend has been trying to share with her the gospel very clearly because, of course, the Catholicism has things a little convoluted. And Juliana was very receptive to faith by grace. And was interested in coming to our youth group starting at the beginning of school year. I didn't find out till around VBS time at Christmas that she was coming there without her parents knowing. And so it was under the guise that she was going to a tutorial for SAT testing. And when I found out, you know, she had already come to the, that she needed to tell her mom. And I asked her, please, to do that, that, you know, that God would take care of this, that we would be in prayer for that conversation. Well, this conversation took place 2 weeks ago. And her mom, as she expected, was quite upset and feels like she had failed her in the Catholic faith and she's going to find her a Catholic Bible study. She's no longer allowed to come. And all of the things that we would expect her mom to do. Juliana is, if you can be a prayer for her in this respect, I've told Emily this the same. Emily is her friend. Emily has a great opportunity to see Juliana every single day. She is her connection here on earth. And that God is her connection every single moment of every day. That relationship is not going to change. She is so pursued of it that she reached online at school. She was trying to find a home Bible study, something that she could do at home to be delivered to the house. So she went online, if you can imagine, I'll keep this as short as possible, and she enters all this information. And she's thinking something is coming to the house. Well, something came to the house, all right. It was two Mormon people knocking on the door. She did not know. She's at school, and she goes, oh, my gosh, Emily, help me. There's Mormon people coming to the house. My mom's going to kill me. So she and Orna, she hid in the back room, like, hiding. Like, I have no idea. I don't know. So she is pursuing this, and... You know, let's just pray that she continues to do that. God's going to find a way to reach her no matter how this is, and to be respectful of her parents in this journey, too.
Ryan, do you see her?
No, I just see her when she comes to Bible study because she goes to Ursuline.
Well, yeah. Make it maybe just call her once a week, just how you doing.
That we could do.
And, you know, we're thinking about you in prayer.
That would be weird.
That you can stay in with the Word, that type of thing.
Yeah, so anyway, be in prayer for Juliana and Emily. And also, I mean, our whole group, because that was a great opportunity for our group to be in prayer for her last week.
Absolutely.
And for them to understand.
What a wonderful story.
Yeah.
A horrible story in respect, yeah. Wow. Be in prayer for her. Yes.
My oldest brother, Steve, who we were in prayer for a while back, who had some strokes, they just found an MRI. He's having back pain. He has a cyst on his spine. They think it's non-cancerous, but they've got to determine how they're going to deal with it to relieve it, whether surgical or injections. So
very good.
Please be in prayer for my oldest brother, Steve.
And the doctor's wisdom.
And the doctor's wisdom. And Phyllis Music, this is Phil, and it is my brother, Steve, that we're talking about. Every time we say Steve, she emails me and says, is that your brother or is that somebody? But, we appreciate the prayer for his pain in their path.
So we're in prayer.
And we'll
serve. For him and the doctor's wisdom. All right, any guests?
Well, Paul greeting last week at the library. I met this woman with a little boy who's 8 years old. He'd just come back from the doctor. He fell and he twisted his neck. So every day he would come, you know, with the mother to the library. Well, he happens to be a Trump supporter and lover. So I'm going to see him tomorrow with some goodies.
Name is
Tyson.
Name is what?
Tyson.
8 years old.
Yes.
Wow.
What a sweet little boy.
Thanksgiving.
He doesn't make sense right now. They can't figure out what's going on.
Yes. Nice.
All right, very good.
Yeah, wonderful.
That's a Thanksgiving. Prayer of Thanksgiving. We love those.
Yeah.
All right, I pass every day to thank the Lord about in my prayers, thank God the Father about in my prayers. Any other prayer requests? Okay, I got one more. This is from Fran Anderson. Sometimes Fran's here, but she's always here for the early service. And she's about this tall and love her height. And she has a cancer problem, had cancer problems. But she says, I'm having MOHS, M-O-H-S surgery on my face Tuesday, the 10th, and on the other side of my face on the 17th. Please pray for skill of the three doctors and that no infection sets in. Fran Anderson. So there's another prayer for you on the 10th, which I guess will be Tuesday, and the 17th. So please be in prayer for Fran and the doctors at that time. Any other prayer requests? The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity. For God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one, person who already knows Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, but two, also knows how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. Because it is the Holy Spirit that directs us what to do with our time and money. We have a lot of wonderful opportunities that God has given this small assembly, but they require finances. We got the internet, missionaries, young people, and so many things going on. In fact, you have a talk to give. Let's do that first. Feel that. Yeah.
So it's time for the flower sale again.
Don't show my wife, please.
Nice.
We have a flyer if you need a flyer.
But we
would like you to get online if you can. If you possibly can order online, we'd like you to. But I do have some flyers for everyone. And it's going. So today is the beginning, and the actual delivery is April 18th. So we have a little time.
And if you wanted an update on the thermometer, we're at $7,097 so far of our 17 so goal. And so that kind of gives you an update of where we are so far.
Anybody, any other questions about it?
One difficult announcement about the flowers. Phil doesn't come over and plant them.
Just getting some orders from my front yard last week.
To order the flowers online will be coming via email to the church members, or you can go to libertyyouthministries.com, and it's right there on our front page of our website for the youth ministry.
Okay. So we've got several different ways you can do it. If you're old-fashioned, do it right here. But if you're up to it, do it on the internet. Okay? So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory. So we'll just get a lot of things done that God has in store for this assembly. And I always pray that if there's more, open them up. Let us have more. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that we can come to you with our prayer requests. We boast in our weakness. Weakness, Heavenly Father, of financial. Therefore, we need you. Therefore, Father, we pray that you receive the offerings that we're about to give. That you receive these offerings and continue to use them in the use of this assembly, in the spreading of the gospel, the spreading of the teaching of the Word of God. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glorification. Amen. As your shepherd, not just the teacher, but as your shepherd, I just want to share with you very quickly from a pathologist of many, many years and back to the 70s, and has worked with such epidemics as SARS and MERS. And I'm just going to, without reading the whole deal, just read to you the following areas, just a simple common sense precaution in regard to coronavirus. Now, I'm one of those, I understand it's getting worse, but people, over 50,000 people died of flu last year. Nobody made a big deal about it. You got the flu, go sneeze somewhere else. But 57 people died from flu. And I certainly pray that coronavirus doesn't get any worse. But dealing with the things we got going on, these are his areas of precaution. One, no handshaking. Use a fist bump, pump them in the nose, a slight bow on the elbow, that type of thing. Two, use only your knuckles to touch light switches elevator buttons, lift the gasoline dispenser with a paper towel, or use a disposable glove. 3, open doors with your closed fist or hip, you get a hip action. Do not grasp the handle with your hand unless there is no other way to open the door and you got to go in. Especially important on bathroom and post office and commercial doors. 4, use disinfectant wipes at the stores when they are available, including wiping the handle of the child seat and grocery carts. 5, wash your hands with soap. Now, this was one I didn't know, and then I learned about it on the Internet. 10 to 20 seconds, and the Internet said men are notorious for being worse than women in washing their hands. And I'm one of those. That's it. I did it. Well, 10 to 20 seconds. 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, and do that kind of thing. And do the tips of your fingers, in between them, all that kind of stuff, okay? So, wash your hands with soap for 10 to 20 seconds and or use a greater than 60% alcohol-based hand sanitizer if you can even find them. Whenever you return home from any activity that involves locations where other people have been, keep a 6, keep a bottle of sanitizer available at each of your home entrances and in your car for use after getting gas or touching other contaminated objects when you can't immediately wash your hands. 7, if possible, cough or sneeze into a disposable tissue and discard. Use your elbow only if you have to, that type of thing. The clothing of your elbow will contain infectious virus that can be passed on for up to a week or more. What I have stocked in preparation for the pandemic spread, latex or latex disposable gloves. I read this Wednesday night, and I told them I'd just been over here to Sam's, and they had a whole counter full of them. I went in the next day to get some other things. They were all gone. Every one of them. I was just amazed. Because there were a whole bunch of them, you know, Sam's. But anyway, if you can find them, get the gloves to have. And remember, coronavirus is a virus. It's lungs. It affects the lungs. Therefore, you protect what goes into your mouth and goes in your nose. See? Keep your hand off your face. It's a lung problem, and that becomes the big issue and the area of concern in regard of these things. So the latex gloves, 2, stock up with disposable surgical masks and use them to prevent you from touching your nose. Not prevent it. They do not prevent you from getting it. But they will prevent you from touching your nose and your mouth. That's what he's pointing out here. 3, stock up now with hand sanitizers, latex gloves. Get the appropriate sizes for your family. The hand sanitizers must be alcohol-based, greater than 60%. Now, this one is another one. Stock up now on zinc lozenges. These lozenges have been proven to be effective in blocking coronavirus and other viruses that affect the lungs. So that was another issue you may not be aware of in regard to all of this. Okay, if you have any questions, get a hold of this doctor or the Internet. I know only what I read here. So that's I'm not going to open the questions because I don't know. All right, let's, yes.
A lot of them are already out of hand sanitizers, but you can make your own. There's recipes online. Yes.
Yeah. How do you make your own?
Alcohol, aloe gel, and peroxide. Any of that? It's on there. It's online.
You can get the recipe online.
Yeah. Yeah. Drinking alcohol or running alcohol.
Oh, good. That's good.
Yeah.
124.
Let's prepare us. Yes.
Jennifer and I want to tell you something we learned at the med school when we worked in.
Yeah.
That you're supposed to flush the toilet with your foot.
Oh,
Or with the cleanings or tissue, yeah. That's one of the things.
We just want you to know that.
In public.
No,
I don't touch
you. So, you're too old.
Never had a
one. So we'll all survive the coronavirus, but we're going to have hips thrown out.
Oh, whatever's good for you in one area is bad for you in another. Does anyone not have love and predestination go together on the handout? Anyone not have it? Okay. Let's begin our preparation for our study this morning in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we have so many concerns of the world we live in. Diseases, muggings, terrorist activity, traffic, on and on. Heavenly Father, we have a Savior, a stronghold that we can go to every day. We're so thankful for your word, thankful for your spirit. Pray that he will open our eyes to things we need to know and understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. It is so important to learn about end time prophecy. Prophecy is a great portion of the Bible. End time prophecy is still yet to come. It's very important for us to understand the Old Testament, to understand our heritage, to understand God's place in the world, and creating the world and all, understanding why we should love and support the Jews in Jerusalem, Israel. But Heavenly Father, but people, we live here now. And these are the kinds of things, predestination, next Sunday adoption. I'm very discouraged because I spent all this time getting up to Ephesians 5:1. Chapter 1, verse 5. And I told myself when I sat down to study for next Sunday, by the way, we will not have class Wednesday night. No class this Wednesday night. I'll be at a pastor's conference in Houston. And but we'll be back for next Sunday. And when I was working on it, I told myself when I sat down at my desk, okay, Father, what I want to try to do is get through 5, 6, and 7 in one Sunday and blow their minds. We're just going to really speed along. I sat down and opened it up, and we're predestinated to adoption. Adoption. Oh, no. So we're going to have to slow down again to understand what that means, because it's very valuable to us. We don't understand some of these things. And I'll read it probably next Sunday, what's going on in Great Britain. But the person writing it said, most people in England do not even understand what Christianity is. I wonder how true that is here. And people, I wonder how many Christians understand predestination, adoption, election, these things that are valuable to us. And if you don't, it's my fault. That's what I'm here for. That's what a pastor is here for, to study and teach these things. So let's get to work here. Now, the first few points we ended last Sunday with, but we'll pick it up, I think, at point 3. But point 1, biblical predestination, in love, God predestined. So the Greek word here in Ephesians 1:5 is the aorist active participle of the Greek word parazo. This is a compound verb made up of the prefix pro, which basically means before, plus arazo, which basically means to determine or decree beforehand. 2, in Ephesians chapter 1, we are in the section of the work of the Trinity in salvation, verses 3 through 14. After this is the long, this is the longest sentence in the Word of God. The work of God the Father, verses 3 through 6. The work of God the Son, 7 through 12. The work of God the Holy Spirit, verses 13 and 14. Verse 4 expresses disposition of every believer by explaining that everyone who believes in Jesus Christ shares the election of Jesus Christ. No one is elected outside of Christ. We are elected once we are in Christ. As your Savior, you are placed in Christ, therefore you share the election of Jesus Christ by God the Father. Also, by being in Christ, you are sanctified by God. Now, Roman numeral 3, this is where we left off, at the end of Roman numeral 2. Roman numeral 3, positional sanctification clarifies predestination of verse 5. First, let's correctly translate from the Greek preposition. Having predestinated us, believers in Jesus Christ, remember from point 1. This word means to determine or decree beforehand, to pre-design. To biblically understand predestination, we must examine each of the context of the verb. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 7, it has an object of that predestination, namely the wisdom of God. His wisdom is predestined for our glory. But we speak of God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden mystery, which God predestined before the ages of glory. B, one of the most misunderstood passages on predestination is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. It's misunderstood, it's confusing. For those whom He, God the Father, foreknew, He knew from His being of omniscience, everyone who would believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, everyone who wouldn't. He also predestined, He decreed that everyone who believed in His Son in the church age would share the predetermined plan of His Son. So here's where it reads. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. So, once you're placed into Christ, you're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's positional truth. What is positional truth, very quickly? It's our position. Who and what you are. For example, you're a human being. I know sometimes people may challenge that you're human, but you're human. See? That's your position in the world. You're not an animal. You're not an angel. I know men tell you you're an angel, but rise up, young lady. So, we're human. So, we have positional truth, something we are in God. Okay? Positional truth. Now, so that He predestined us to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He, His Son, would be the firstborn among many brethren, believers only of the church age. Firstborn means to be the head of a new race or a new creation, which here is talking about the church age. Romans 8:30, and these whom He predestined with Christ, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. He determined that everyone who believed in His Son would be imputed with perfect righteousness and therefore justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. This is our eternal state with His Son. Now, this verse is packed with multitude of important doctrines. The omniscience of God, which includes foreknowledge. Foreknowledge does not mean predetermined. Does not mean He determined those who would believe and those who would not believe. It includes the doctrine of predestination. Here you will note that we are predestined as a personal object of all believers. This is in contrast with 1 Corinthians 2:7, where the object of predestination was His wisdom. Here it refers to everyone who believes in Christ as Savior. Romans 8:28-29 also includes the doctrines of positional truth, election, justification, glorification. People, it's my job as pastor to teach you these things. I can't just zip through them. That's why Christians don't. I wonder if it's true what they said of England isn't true of America. I wonder how many Americans know, in truth, what Christianity is, including a lot of believers. I wonder, do they really know what it means to be a Christian? See? And now we get down to understanding all of these other great truths. Positional truth, election, justification, glorification. Wonderful things that God has given us. Six vital doctrines to every one who believes in Jesus Christ, and they serve as an invitation to every unbeliever. We are predestined in Christ, not outside of Christ. We have positional truth in Christ. We are elected in Christ. We are not elected outside of Christ. We are justified in Christ. We are glorified in Christ. Now, I'm going to ask you, let's see if I can find where Kit did something really wonderful for us. If you will turn over page 10. If you look at page 10, this will help us to see where I'm trying to show the emphasis here. You see that yellow circle? That is a basic chart you learn your first semester of Greek. And it tells you about the prepositions. And if you'll notice, in, E-N, is inside. It doesn't say that, it doesn't say nearing or facing, pros. It doesn't say going into, from the outside going into. If this was predestined outside of Christ to be in Christ, the preposition would have been eis. Outside, going into. And of course, dia is all the way through. But I love the simplicity of this chart. It helps us with our prepositions to see what I'm trying to teach you. And in the Greek, throughout the book of Ephesians, we will have the phrase in Christ. And I wanted you to see it's in Christ. Not moving into Christ, not nearing or facing Christ, but in Him. You are put in Him, and then these things happen. Now let's go back to page, the bottom of page 3. We're justified in Christ, glorified in Christ. So, Christian, if you ever think things are so bad, you have nothing to be thankful for. Here are five blessings you can give continual thanks for. Many Christians know Romans 8:28, but not even aware of 29 and 30. Which is why Romans 8:28 is a reality. Why is it even a reality? Because of verses 28 and 29. Now, see, then there is one predominant action predestined by God, and that was the crucifixion of His Son, Romans 4:28, which we'll take a look at a little later, and how all that works together. So we have had things predestined, people predestined, and actions predestined by God. D. Now we come to our passage, Ephesians 1:5, where the subject of predestination is adoption. In love, He, God the Father, predestinated us, everyone who believes in Christ. No one is predestined to believe or not believe. But those who do believe are predestined to adoption. See? Which we'll cover next. You got to understand what that means. Now, point 4. There are 5 Greek words used to communicate the doctrine of predestination. Each one gives new insight, added insight, into predestination. A, our word, proritzo, to determine before or pre-design. Ephesians 1:5 and 11, which we'll see, and Romans 8:29 and 30, which we just saw. Another word, protithemi, to place before or predetermine. We will come to this one in Ephesians 1:9. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, which He, God the Father, placed before in Him, Jesus Christ. See, prothesis, which refers to predetermined plan. And this was found in Romans 8:28. And now, and we know from the Word of God that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That is, according to the predetermined purpose for believers who walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and therefore love Him with spiritual love. This is conditional. A lot of people don't. Romans 8:28 is conditional. It's spiritual love from the believer in the power of the Holy Spirit and only of believers. It's a privilege you and I have. Don't miss it. And then D, prognosto, is to foreordain, to preordain, to know previously. This one's found in 1 Peter 1:20. For he, Jesus Christ, was foreknown by the God the Father before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times, incarnation, for the sake of you. This word appears in a passage we have noticed with another Greek word for predestination, Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, God knew in eternity past everyone who would use their free will to believe in his Son. He also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. So you can see, predestination takes place in Christ, not outside of Christ, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And then finally, prognosis for knowledge. This comes from the omniscience of God. 1 Peter 1:2. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with his blood, salvation, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Yes?
Differentiate for me free will by definition and predestination, because I'm getting a little confusion here.
Very good. God has given every human being free will. Everyone has free will. Now, given the gospel, you're given faith as a gift. Ephesians 2:8, 9. You hear the gospel, and you can believe or not believe. In the age in which you and I live, this was not true. This is important for seeing the difference. It's not true in the age of Israel. It was not true in the age of Jesus Christ. But in the church age, which began on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, God made a sovereign decision to take that believer and put him in Christ. Then in Christ, we're predestined to have a lot of things that we're talking about, like adoption we'll study next week, predestinated in adoption. Does that help?
Really good. So what about that Jew back there?
What about the people before?
Yeah, the Old Testament guys.
They have their own blessings in the age of Israel, being in the age of Israel, being in that age. Believing Gentiles in the Old Testament, they're saved eternally, and they're put into the household of Israel. But in the church age, we're put into the household of Jesus Christ.
A dispensational discussion.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Why didn't you teach us that, Kit?
Absolutely. Okay, thank you. Good question. Now, Roman numeral 5. Predestination. And the free will of man. Here we go. There are certain things that disturb many people about predestination and free will. One of those is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, recorded in Acts 2:23 and Acts 4:28. And Trey and I have talked about this, so let's examine and see if this answers your questions, Trey. Okay? Acts 2:23. This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to the cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. Okay, let's see what we have here. This man, Jesus, in his humanity, delivered over to you, and you delivered him over to the Romans to be crucified. Let me just stop and share something with you. Some time ago, we did a study on Samson. This happened to Samson. What Samson told as a prefigure of Christ, he told the Israelites. He said, I will turn my... They couldn't capture him. They put chains on him, he broke them. They put ropes on him, he broke them. Alright. Now, I will turn myself over to you and not try to escape. But you cannot harm me. You must turn me over to the Philistines. And they agreed, and that's why he was turned over to the Philistines. That's like Christ. I'll turn myself over to the Jews, but you cannot crucify me. You must let the Romans do it. Gentiles. Who crucified Christ? Jews. Gentiles. God. Predetermined plan of God. So, that's the crucifixion. Okay? Now, you nailed to the cross. So, this man, delivered over by the predetermined plan. Okay, here we go. This is the root word from which the word we're studying for predestination, perazo. You will notice that the word is a compound word made up of the prefix pro, before, plus the main verb, perazo, which means to determine. Therefore meaning to determine before, or to decree before. That is, before it occurs in history. So here, in Acts 2:23, we have the main verb, to decree. Then we have the Greek word translated, plan. This word means will, purpose, intention, or decree. These two words are variously translated, and I love the way Keith fixed you up a nice little chart. I won't even dare show you what I sent him. But anyway, this is what he did with what I sent him. NIV, God's deliberate plan. New Living Translation, his pre-arranged plan. English Standard, according to the definite plan. Berean Study Bible, God's set plan. Berean Literal Bible, by the predetermined plan. King James, by the determinate counsel. New King James, by the determined purpose. The Message, following the deliberate and well thought out plan. Contemporary English Version, already planned. Good News Translation, in accordance with his own plan. God's Word Translation, determined in advance. Alright, I think you will get the main idea of the thrust of the Greek. This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. This, of course, refers to the omniscience of God. You, religious Jews of the Sanhedrin, nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men, the Romans, Gentiles, and put him to death, physical death. Now the issue is that since God predetermined that Jesus was to die on the cross, does this mean he predestinated these Jews and Romans? No. Why not? How does this work? Let's see if a simple illustration will not confuse you, but will help you understand the working of God's decree and the free will of man. And people, if it doesn't, raise your hand. I'm here to teach. Be sure you understand these things. A good football coach knows his own players. By sound scouting, he knows how the other team should react under certain conditions. So he has a predetermined plan on how to score. He does not control the players on either team, but by his foreknowledge, he devises the plan and it works out just as he thought it would. God, by his foreknowledge, knows how the religious Jews will think and act, and he knows the procedure of the Romans. So, by his predetermined plan, Jesus is crucified on the cross. By the way, even the history of crucifixion is in the foreknowledge of God. Okay, does that help? Okay, I want you to understand, he did not predestine the Sanhedrin to reject Jesus as the Messiah, because some of them accepted him. Nicodemus. See? He did not predestine the Romans with no volition to crucify him. But he knew the Romans. They now have 400 years. And they've grown very strongly accustomed. If you are rebellious, we're going to crucify you. These kinds of things. So, what God did, he put all this together. People, parents do the same thing often. We know exactly how our children are going to act. So we set up a plan. And they stumble. That's our plan. We wanted them to see and learn, or whatever it is. Crucifixion seems to have originated with the Assyrians and the Babylonians. Now we're talking about the time of Daniel. It was used systematically by the Persians who overtook Babylon in the 6th century B.C. by the time of the return of the Israelites from the Babylonian captivity to Israel. Alexander the Great brought it from there to the eastern Mediterranean countries. In the 4th century B.C., the Phoenicians introduced it to Rome in the 3rd century B.C., setting up the crucifixion of our Savior for the payment of our sins. God knew all of these things. He didn't predestine these people for capital punishment. But He knew. That's one of the advantages of being God. You already know everything. See? We don't. But He did. So He devised His plan to work on the way man acts and what man does. See? And that's the way, by the way, Satan does the same thing to us. He knows your area of weakness. And that's what He's going to tempt you away from the cross with. Tempt you away from Bible study with. He knows all I have to do, put this up in front, and they'll miss Bible class. They will keep their mouth shut and won't witness for Christ. That's all I have to do. I know them. See? He didn't predestine. He doesn't predestinate us. He just knows us well. He knows every area of weakness we have. And He knows how to do it. See? How to work on us. So, understand this aspect as we study predestination. Roman numeral 6. Predestination directly involves the love of God, the omniscience of God, and the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God and the free will of man coexist by God's divine decree. The things that God predetermined, like the crucifixion of His Son on the cross, take into account God's sovereign will and man's free will, making decisions that God knew man would make. Knowing the decisions of man does not mean that God determined these decisions, any more than the acts of the football players were predetermined by the coach. He knew from his foreknowledge of his own team, scouting reports, how the other team would react to certain actions of his team. Predestination involves the love of God, in that God's plan is motivated by His divine love for the entire human race. John 3:16. Roman numeral 7. Now, there are certain things that do not involve the free will of man, but are totally dependent on the sovereignty of God. Election and predestination of believers does not depend on the free will of man in any way. Once an unbeliever, a sinner, believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, now God does 34 things. We didn't do anything to put ourselves in Christ. That was a decision of God. By placing that believer in Christ, he now shares the predestination of Jesus Christ, the election of Jesus Christ, and the adoption of Christ. Now let's see if a simple chart of the first year of Greek helps. And that's the chart that we looked at. The circle represents, as it were in our study, Christ. That EN there, that's the Greek preposition in. Inside. You have other prepositions. Pros, near or facing. Ice, going into. If we were elected or predestined outside of Christ, the preposition would be ice, not in. God knows His own language. See? And then I just put dia so you get the idea going all the way through. Preposition pros, near or facing. Ice, going into, dia, through, in, inside. So if we look at Ephesians 1:4, just as He chose us in Christ, the preposition is not ice, which would involve being chosen outside of Christ and then placed in Christ. But the preposition means that once a person believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, one of the 34 things God does for every believer in the church age is to place that believer in Christ. And people, give thanks to God that we're placed in Christ. For it is because we are in Christ that we share His sonship and now pray, Heavenly Father. Old Testament, they knew Him as Father. No record of any prayer for Him. No record of any prayer, Father. They knew He was their Father, but they didn't pray to Him that way. People, we have the privilege of saying to Sovereign God, Father. Unfortunately, a lot of fathers have made that not such a good word today. But those of you that had a good father and understand the principle of a good father, this is so wonderful. So comforting, so assuring. There's great confidence in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. He is our Father because we are predestinated to be in Christ after faith in Christ as Savior. The same point is made with our predestination. Read carefully. In love, He predestinated us to adoption as sons through Christ Jesus Christ to Himself according to the kind intention of His will. You will note that God predestinated believers. He predestinated us. You see that? That means believers. It doesn't say He predestinated us as unbelievers. Predestinated us, those who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the point. To share the adoption of Jesus Christ. Also note, this is from the kindness of divine love. Spiritual love is kind. The conclusion here is that both election and predestination have nothing to do with the will of man. The only part we have is to believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Then, with no decision on our part, God places us in Christ. And when in Christ, God predestines us to share the predestination of Christ, the election of Christ, the adoption of Christ. Neither election, predestination occurs outside of Christ, but in Christ. Any question? Okay. Let's go to Roman numeral 8. We're just moving along here. Election and predestination are Christ-centered, not man-centered. If we were elected outside of Christ, it would be man-centered. We're elected in Christ, it's Christ-centered. See? Election and predestination are Christ-centered. The unbeliever is not predestined, but only the one who has already believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. We receive them as salvation blessings from God. They are among the 34 blessings we receive from God the moment we believe in Jesus Christ. When you are depressed, down about life, count your blessings from God that you can never lose. See? Take the 34 things. We need to get some more of those booklets out there. But just sit down and just go through. You have 34 things you can just get thanks for. And I'll tell you something else that happens wonderfully. As you're sitting down, you move into that position, depressed, fearful, upset, lonely, whatever it is, SAD. You sit down. By the time you reach the fifth thing, blessing God has given, you start seeing these things disappear. You start seeing a peace come over you. You know, it isn't quite so bad. Then you go to 6 and 7 and 8. By the time you reach about 20, I don't need to read anymore. I'm happy. See? Well, just stay calm. Read some more. See? This is the wonder of these things that God has given us. This is why He told us these things. To encourage us, strengthen us in our daily life. See? Point 8. Election and predestination, Christ-centered. Point 9. Election and predestination are God's grace blessings to everyone who believes. We did nothing to be predestined in Christ. This was the sovereign decree of God for everyone who believes in Him. Now, as a result of being elected and predestined in Christ, we have opportunity for a multitude of blessings in time and eternity. These depend on the decisions we make from our God-given free will. How you view yourself should be on the basis of your being elected, predestined, and I've got to add adoption. We'll come to that next week. Because of these things, it should influence how we live. See? One of the main things, it took me a while to grasp from my mother. You can't do this. Well, why not? Dick gets to do it. Dick's not mine. You are. You can't do it. Well, big deal being yours then, see? But that was her big deal. You're here. You're mine. You can't do that. Or you do this. You do it this way. It's the way we do it. Just things in the family. In this family, this is the way they're done. Now, you grow up, leave, do it however you want. As long as you're in this family, this is the way we function. It's the way it's going to be. It's a solid parent, good parent. See? You go up, do whatever you want. But you're in this family, a certain way to live. You're in Christ, a certain way to live. There's a certain way we live. A certain morality standard. A certain action standard. A certain verbal standard that we live by. Just because we are in the adoption of Christ. See? So, let's take a look. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Therefore, after salvation, that's the therefore, from now on, in our lives here on earth, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, said Paul, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, maybe you are, maybe you're not, but if you are, by God placing him there under the predetermined plan to place everyone who believed in Christ, Jesus as Savior, in the church age. This is true in no other dispensation. He is a new creature by the doing of God. He makes every believer a new spiritual creation. Every one of you are a new spiritual creation. Old things from our inherited sin nature, and before we became believers, behold, new things have come by being elected, predestined, and adopted in Christ. Verse 18, now that you are in Christ, predestined, adoption in Christ, all these things are from God, the kindness of His divine love and His decree, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ Jesus. Now that's just beautiful. Let me just pause because I love this. You learn it before you're married, but if you're married and you hurt your wife, offend her or something, you try to do something. If it's a little thing, you bring her some flowers. Oh, that's so pretty. And she hugs you and then nice. If it's a little bigger, flowers aren't going to cut it. See? It's going to take more. And if it's real big, here comes a car or swimming pool. See? But the point is, we've got to do something to bring about reconciliation with her. See? We've offended. We've got to make sure it's okay. Doesn't work with God. Nothing we can do. Nothing we can do. He set the way we're going to be reconciled with Him. He sent us His Son. Through my Son, you'll be reconciled to me. That's the grace of your God. Learn about your God. You might learn a little about life at the same time. But that's the way He is. It's the way He works. Okay. Verse 19. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. So see, being in Christ, being adopted in Christ, had nothing to do with us. But it should have an influence on how we live. We're here to tell others to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. See? It impacts how we live, how we speak, what we're here for. See? And then, Verse 21, he made him the righteousness of God in him, that is, in Christ. What this means is, when you think of yourself, you're no longer distinguish yourself from other believers by human standards, such as race, rich or poor, successful in this world or unsuccessful, attractive or not so attractive. Remember, Morning Star was created in perfect beauty. Smart, not so smart. Male, female. Socially acceptable, unacceptable. You're no longer to compare yourself with others, determining them to be superior or inferior to you. Shame on you. This is exactly what Morning Star did in the first universe, and it caused him sin, separation from God. Your only attitude or thoughts about yourself is that you are a human being, an alien on this earth, you are in Christ, you are here to represent Him. This change in thinking will result in a change in your daily life, your standards, things which affect your emotions and decisions you make each day, your dress, your speech, your morals, your spiritual growth. You're in Christ. You're an alien here. You're representing Christ. See? It isn't because I'm an old fogey. There are just certain ways I wouldn't allow my son or daughter to dress. Going out in public. You don't want to dress that way. You've got to understand people. See? It doesn't mean it's not your fault if anything happens. But the point is, in truth, be honest. Be wise. Dress as honorable to Christ, not honorable to your own body. See? If you got to use your body to attract a man, you got to use your wealth or your swag to attract a girl, you're in bad shape. Let them know your soul. Let them be attracted to who and what you are in Christ. That's the great issue. Okay, thank you, Father, that you destined me to be in Christ, for this is how I shall think of myself and my conduct. Roman numeral 10, predestination is just for those who believe in Jesus as their Savior in the church age. The unbeliever is not predestined to spend eternity in a lake of fire, separated from God for all eternity. John 3:18, he, any member of the human race, who believes in Him, Jesus Christ as Savior, by his own free will, is not judged. He who does not believe, uses his free will to choose not to believe in Jesus Christ, has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son, that is, choose not to believe in Him, will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Summary, biblical doctrine of predestination concerns believers only. Secondly, in biblical hermeneutics, the study of the Bible, if the antithesis is not stated, it does not exist. The unbeliever is not predestined to eternal separation from God. He will spend eternity in the lake of fire by his own free choice because he rejects Christ as his or own Savior. By the way, that little principle of hermeneutics gets a lot of people in trouble. They assume the antithesis is something to be true, and it's not. Next, 3, the biblical doctrine of predestination does not conflict with human volition or the free will of man, but emphasizes it. The understanding of biblical teaching on unlimited atonement verifies that God's will, salvation for all the entire human race, God is not willing that any should perish. Finally, only when one believes in Jesus Christ is he predestined by God to be in Christ and share the existence of Christ. Point 11, so now we conclude our study of predestination where most studies begin. With a definition. See? Most of the time when you start a doctrine, you start with a definition. We're going to end it with a definition. Okay? According to the Evangelical Dictionary of Theology, the biblical use, primarily New Testament, is salvation and Christological. It is in Christ and through Christ and with the goal of our conformity to the likeness of His Son, Romans 8:29, predestination is an act of God's will according to God's purpose, Ephesians 1:11, the eternal purpose which God accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Next, predestination is the work of the sovereignty of God, the Father, in eternity past on behalf of every church age believer. Only in the church age there is no distinction between believers. He decreed predestination in eternity past before we were ever in existence. See? Therefore, predestination is the grace gift of God. Give thanks for it. For every believer in the church age, give thanks for the kindness of His love. His kindness drew us to Him, Romans 2:24, for salvation, and the kindness of His love elected us into the predestination of adoption. Predestination means that in initial faith in Christ, God conformed us, each one of us, to the image of His Son. Romans 8:29 again. For those whom He, God the Father, foreknew, foreknowledge, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He, Jesus Christ, would be the firstborn among many brethren. People, please understand something. To God, Christ is paramount. To us, Christ should be paramount. If it's good enough for God, good enough for me. Say, alright. People, please see yourself, not as the world sees you, but as God sees you, conformed to the image of His Son. Predestination sets the pattern for much of our salvation. Romans 8:30. And these, all who believe in the church age, whom He, God, predestined, He also called, election in Christ. And these whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. All dependent on the working of His Son. F. Predestination means every believer in Christ has an eternal inheritance in Christ. We'll see more of this in the adoption. Ephesians 1:11. Also, along with having the mystery of His will in verse 10, along with that, we have obtained an inheritance. How and when equals having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. You cannot lose your inheritance, but you can add to your riches in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ, depending on how you live your life. G, our glory is dependent on the predestination of the wisdom of the mystery. 1 Corinthians 2:7, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden until the dispensation of the church, wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our, believers in the church age, glory. Here's your glory. Not anything based on humanist standards. People, always be in prayer, thanking God that you believed in His Son for eternal salvation. He elected you, predestined you, and adopted you in Christ for all eternity. Any questions? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Well, Father, we didn't realize we were so rich. We didn't realize we had so much. My goodness, why are we worried? We have so much in Christ. Let us remember we're in Him. We're for Him. We represent Him. This is our glory. Not anything of ourselves, but by virtue of being in Christ. Father, we thank You for the genius of Your grace to take us and put us in Christ. We're satisfied being in Christ. We praise You. It's our purpose, Heavenly Father, to learn all we can about our position in Christ. and then live it. And give thanks to you every day for being in Christ. Father, I pray your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning to the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.